God's grace, His mercy, and His peace belong to you and me because of the work, the love, the sacrificial love of God our Father expressed through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we wrap our minds and hearts around culture shift as God speaks to us as men, I must say that today we had more texts, more sections of God's Word chosen to speak to this than ever before in our worship planning. And I stepped away and picked a whole different one and pulled some of those back in. We have some deep stuff coming our way. Culture shift as it speaks to men being sacrificial. Let us turn our attention to God's Word, our text for today, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Please read the entire two verses with me together. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thus the words of our God for us to ponder. Are any of us sporting the cross of Jesus visibly on our bodies today? Raise your hands if necklace, tattoo, anything. We got four. I should have worn my big one that goes with my all, but I didn't. If you're sporting that cross, if you're wearing that cross, if you ever do, do you wear it for looks or do you actually own its message? What happened on that cross that can look so nice on a necklace? What happened on that cross? Well, Jesus died for the sins of the world to save you and me. Today we're talking about sacrificial love. What is sacrificial love and what does it look like? Chances are you and I as Christians will say, well, right there, the cross of Jesus, that's sacrificial love. To die for others and for the truth of God. To live for God and for others ahead of ourselves, you first. That's how the Christian rolls, right? You first, ahead of me. After all, Jesus laid down his carpenter tools and he headed to the cross seeking to do his Father's will and to save you and me. Are you and I good at sacrificial living? You first, taking my life, our lives, and laying it at the foot of our God, seeking to do His will. Well, the Apostle Paul confesses in this same book of Romans, but the 7th chapter, he confesses how difficult it was for him, how he struggled with doing God's will. And some of the words on the screen are as follows. I would not have known what coveting was if the law had not said, you shall not covet, but then sin seized the opportunity. Sin inside Paul seized the opportunity and produced in me every kind of coveting. It's rather like if you want your kids to eat their green beans, don't tell them ahead of time what you bought for dessert. Because once they know, they'll want what they can't have now, and that's kind of how we're wired because of sin. Would you agree with Paul that by nature, you and I resist whatever God's will for us is in our station or position or gender in life? Let me ask that again. Would you agree with the Apostle Paul that by nature, we resist whatever God's will for us is in our position, station, or even gender in this life? The answer would be yes, it's called sin. And even Paul could only strive to do God's will because of what Jesus had done for him, which is why he began our verses saying to us, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Let us take all of that background knowledge and thought today for ourselves, but especially as we ponder this thought. Men for God, stepping into what God has called us to be. Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing, the making new of your mind, of your thinking. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is calling us to be transformed, changed, from the thinking of this world to the thinking that is from heaven. And so let's ask the question, what does the mindset of the world look like, sound like? Well, doesn't the mindset of the sinful world kind of sound like this, that if I am bigger than you, I have the right to dominate you or even to rule you? Might makes right. I just finished a Netflix series on the rise of the Ottoman Empire. It's just how I roll, love history. Constantinople. You know, when the Ottoman Empire rose to prominence, and it happened really in an amazing feat on May 28, 1453, when Sultan Mehmed II finally conquered Constantinople, the capital city of the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, on the border between Europe and Asia. That city was the most fortified city in the world, and for 1,000 years it had not been conquered, with 23 prior attempts, until that day when Mehmed II came with gunpowder and cannons that the world had never seen before, and leveled most of the walls and conquered Constantinople. You see, might makes right in the eyes of the world. You and I live in an era and a time when, well, economic muscle backed by threat of war is the might makes right of the day, right? We have the USA and China going toe-to-toe for dominance. And then there is perceived intellectual superiority still going on in our culture. The whole blue-collar versus white-collar thing. And it's always amazing that the most highly paid business exec still needs the auto technician to get him to work on time. And that's kind of how God designed it. We all need each other, but we fight that. And then there is the gender differences thing, where there can be a perceived might makes right that is so tempting for men who can be stronger than women, less vulnerable in the making of children, and more harsh in relationships. Men can be tempted, are tempted, to claim headship with authority rather than to shoulder servant leadership as the Creator designed it. And our sisters can suffer, as Pastor Pete pointed out last week. I'll never forget a member in a former congregation of mine who, in a counseling session with his wife present, said, well, Pastor, if the little woman won't submit, I'm supposed to make her, right? And I was waiting for the lightning bolt to fall from heaven and just fry him. And I bit my tongue, I reined in the anger, and I reintroduced my spiritual brother to the man who had come from heaven and his mindset. You see, God knew what would happen to human relationships with the fall into sin. Selfishness, me over you, and if I can dominate you, I will. And so God sent his man from heaven, Jesus Christ, to course correct the world, to save us from our sins and to teach us a thing or two about loving. So he says to us through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, in your relationships with one another, all of them, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, the man from heaven, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Dear friends, Jesus set aside every advantage of power and position in his relationship with this sinful world. Even now, Jesus does not lord it over us, as he is honest with us about sin, honest with us about death, and sincere with us in his heart's desire to forgive. Oh, the day will come when he will judge from a position of justice and power, but today is not that day. Remember how he prayed the night before he was crucified for the sins of the world. He prayed this: Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And you and I know that his work was accomplished the next day. As from that cross of sacrifice, on that cross of sacrifice, he suffered hell, actually, truly, for you and me. And from that cross, he cried out, "It is finished. The payment for them, Father, is finished." You see, the very God-man, the God-man, did not come to be served, but to serve. Truly a man for God. And so we are men for God who step into what God has called us to be. What does it look like for men to be sacrificial in relationships with women in the church and in the world? Well, let us hear from the man from heaven himself. Words from Ephesians 5, literally translated. The Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, males or husbands, love your females, your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus loved us by listening to his Father and doing his Father's will. Men for God love by respecting their God and their wives before and after marriage. Recognizing that intimacy comes after the commitment. That care and concern for her ahead of me is practiced while we're dating so that she never regrets marrying us on that special day. Men for God lay their earthly dreams at the foot of the cross, ready to give it all up if asked by God in service to our wives. You see, just as is huge. In the rest of life, well, guys, that's easy. Just take what God and mom and your kindergarten teacher taught you about friendships and then girlfriends. But then the Apostle Paul told this to young Pastor Timothy. He said, "Timothy, treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." Guys, if a woman is accepting, offer to hold the door open for her, not because you must or because she needs you to, but because you can. Listen to her thoughts and the wisdom and the experiences in the hearts of the women around you in life, and you will gain wisdom and understanding on how to live this life that you and I just can't have because we're guys. And she, the women around us, the woman around you, can inform us how to serve as men for God. And guys, we men know men better than women do. And so it's important for us to care for all of our sisters across the world. What do I mean by that? Well, years ago, early in our marriage, my wife asked me, "Honey, can you be the one who typically takes the car into the repair shop?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it just seems like they respect you more than they do me." Now, maybe if my wife was really tall, rather than kind of short, maybe if she was really tall and she, my wife's brilliant, by the way, so if she was really tall and chose to prioritize how an ignition system works, maybe she'd have respect. But guys know guys. Our sisters need us to go to bat for them, to be men for God to all of the sisters in the world. Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Knowing what God's will is. How do you wake up spiritually each day? Some in the crowd are looking and going, "Oh, that's a Hebrew Bible. In retirement, I plan to do that. Wake up with the Hebrew Bible every day would be cool." But how do you wake up spiritually every day? Because Paul is telling us to test the opportunities before us every day in how to love and serve our God through His will. As Christians, every day we need to put on a game face and get ready for the day and say to our God, "Okay, Lord, give me a pitch to hit. I'm looking for a pitch to hit. I want to do your will." How do you do that? My wife has a prayer book on the bedside table next to the bed. And before her feet hit the floor, she prays. I'm trying to get into the habit of having my first thought of the day be, "I am a baptized and redeemed child of God, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb." Some people hit their knees by the side of the bed before they get up and they pray. Some people have a prayer and Bible study corner together with a nice cup of coffee, Jesus and Java, great way to start the day. To put on the game face, to revisit the will of God, and to remember how to love. Preparing for the opportunities of the day. But testing the opportunities each day to serve God and others ahead of me also involves trusting. Trusting God and His promises and His words for all of us, male and female. But today again, brothers, why is it that our sinful nature pushes back and resists sacrificial living? "Honey, what are we doing today? How can I serve you?" Ladies, why do you think that our sinful natures resist that? Well, there's a part of us that's afraid you'll take us up on that offer and fill in the blank, and then what about me? Guys, God speaks to us about headship, sacrificial servant leadership. The first to love, the first to serve, the first to forgive, the first to seek forgiveness. Ladies, why are we afraid to be that? Because you, again, might get used to it and expect it. And then what about me? Guys, you know that your wife is more gifted than you in certain areas of life. And can you be vulnerable enough to say to her, "Honey, you get this better than me. Can you take this and do it? How can I help?" Or are we afraid because of something macho, masculine, right? Brothers, my assumption is that all of us here today are men for God. The Spirit lives in our hearts. Jesus is our Savior from sin. We want to do our Father's will. When He speaks to us, eventually we come around and we grab hold of it and we agree. But how is it that our new self, the believer in us, grabs hold of God's will in the end? Well, what worked for Paul works for us. Paul's words, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Jesus did it for us. He owned His Father's will. He owned His cross. And that's worked out really well for you and me. Heaven is ours. It's only a matter of time. We trust Him with our eternal future. So let us trust His will for every day. My mom and dad grew up in very German households. And if you know what that means, you know what that means. Very German households. All my grandpa had to do when one of the kids would try to talk at lunch or supper was tap his foot on the floor, dead silence. My parents grew up in very Germanic households. And my dad became a pastor in a very Germanic church. You did not hug your wife. You were the master of your household. But by God's grace, my dad loved Jesus, and he loved the culture of Jesus more than he loved being German. My dad once told the story about when my mom and dad were newly married, and he was in one of his first parishes. And they were invited over for dinner at the house of an elderly pastor and his wife. And my mom came into the room, and my dad referred to her as honey, a term that warmed my mom's heart. But as my mom left the room, the elderly pastor looked at my dad and said, "What's this honey nonsense?" Now, guys, God is not calling us today from this message to refer to our wives or our girlfriends as honey. But my dad did not listen to that bad worldly advice. He loved the culture of his Jesus. He loved the culture of his God. And for 52 years, my mom was honey to my dad. And so the Strobels of my generation, well, hey, get over it, but we hug. We hug. We fight the Germanic part. And by God's grace and the example of my father, my wife is my best friend. Am I perfect in my sacrificial love for her? Heaven and she knows, no. But the man from heaven reminds me every day what true sacrificial love looks like. How to seek forgiveness, how to be forgiving, how to find the Father's will, and how to love as He has loved. Men for God, you and I this day stand in God's grace. Redeemed children of God, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. Ready to step into what God has called us to be. All of us, though, do you own the cross that you wear? Whether you have a physical cross on you or not, you call yourself a Christian. That is to wear His cross. Do you own that cross? Sacrificial giving, sacrificial living, you ahead of me always, just like Jesus? By God's grace, we do. It's called forgiveness. We've learned how to love. And together with our Jesus, culture shift is happening around us each and every day. Amen. Let us pray. Great God and Lord, thanks be to You that in Your love You changed the world. In your justice and anger over sin, you could have come in with simply our creator of power and might before whom we must cower, and you could have just come in and destroyed it all in your anger over sin. Instead, you became sacrificial in your love for us. And you promised to send a Savior from sin. And in conversation with your son said, "Father, send me. I can love like that." And our Jesus became the man from heaven, the man who came in to turn the world on its head, to overcome sin and death, and to overcome the culture of sin, and to teach us how to love differently as he loved differently. We thank you that Jesus is our Savior from sin, Heavenly Father. We thank you that he has paved the way for us to one day live in your presence again in heaven. We long for that day, but now we are here still, and you ask us to do your will. To each and every day, seek ways to love other people with all that we are in a kind of love that is weird to the world. We don't love because we have a position of power as your sons and daughters. We love because we are privileged to serve as your son served us. Sons and daughters of the King who died that we might live. Heavenly Father, we specifically ask today that you would remind all of us men in the room today, whether married or single, once married, we ask that you would remind us each and every day to look to you and how to love the women in the world around us. Help us to love those we are married to, the ones we might be married to someday. Help us to love as you have loved, listening to your will first, Father, and being the first to forgive, the first to serve, the first to love. But help us as men to look at all of our sisters out there in the world and help us to think, how can I serve each and every one this day to keep them safe, to help them know your love, Father in heaven, and also help us as men to be humble enough to listen, humble enough to work with them and through them to do amazing things in your world as your people. So thanks for being our Savior, God. Thanks for teaching us to think differently than the world. And thanks for doing that teaching through the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the man from heaven. We pray in his name, and all God's people say,